the midweek drive, zooming into the future and energized by the now.
Games. Games people play, games that we like to play. It's not surprising that the head of Disney, Bob Iger, is very keen to obviously get more into the games market, given that it's a hugely significant area. And we're delighted to welcome to the program today executive producer of Soma Games and Forthright Entertainment, who's going to be talking about the Lost Legends of Redwall, the Scout Encore Edition. It's the fabulous Chris Skaggs. How are you, Chris?
Thank you very much for having me, Alex. I'm glad to be here.
Well, great to connect with yourself. Now, I've got to ask the question, has Bob Iger bid to actually say, here, Chris, have several billion pounds Disney wants to buy into this?
Boy, wouldn't that be nice? I'm afraid that Bob hasn't taken my call yet, but it's only a matter
I think
of
so. I think so. But let's get
time.
into the whole system about Red Wall and various other things. This whole notion of a book that's being turned into a game. Again, we know that the gaming industry is huge from that point of view. And of course, Netflix have got into the business. They're very keen on this whole process. We know that. That's actually one of the reasons, according to a Hollywood Reporter, Disney are so keen on actually following this path. So share with us the journey of this children's fantasy book written by Brian Jack and how you got involved.
The truth of the matter is, like, it really fell in our laps at the very beginning. I got a phone call one day from a friend of a friend of a friend kind of a thing who wanted to make a Redwall movie. This was back many years ago before Mr. Jakes had passed away, right? And he just wanted someone on his team who knew how to make games, and he knew that from some friends from us. So at the time, I had never heard of Redwall, and I at the time was like, I don't know, okay, there's talking mice with swords and I'm sure they can have adventures. I'm sure we can do something, but pretty soon, like that proceeded, and over the course of a couple of years, we wound up then in an opportunity to make several different games, all in association with Penguin Random House and the Jakes Estate, and it has been a wonder to be with them. One, they're just a great group of people, the family and the fans of Redwall are so kind and so in love with this property. We feel very, very lucky, very blessed to be kind of shepherding this through its next phase. And then, of course, when Netflix picks it up, that became this huge news because all of a sudden you're back, you're out into the world of like really broad audience appeal, and we just could not be more happy with it. The fella who, in fact, the fella who is a work with us on this media run here, also knows about The Witcher, which was another thing that started as a novel. Became a game, became a big Netflix series, and Redwall could very likely follow a similar path.
Which is excellent news because the world needs to see Redwall Abbey and indeed Mossflower Wood. It's a much better
Yes, sir.
game, I would have thought, for people's ethical moral standings than, let's say, the latest Grand Theft Auto. Oh, just I'm just
I
saying,
think you're
really.
probably right.
Yeah, well, there you go. So in terms of it, I mean, have you become addicted to the series yourself? I mean, obviously that interrelationship and the process of actually turning the book into the game and the way that we deal with the characters and so on can be, I would have thought, quite an interesting one. Talk us through again what you went through in terms of saying, okay, well, we need to have this. This is a classic. How do we go from this point of view, et cetera?
Right. So by the time we came around, there were 22 books in print, and that's just a lot of content to digest. So everyone in the shop sort of split it up, and like everyone needed to read five or six books at a minimum. But pretty soon we found that we love these books. These are really, really touching. The characters, the stories, like you said, just sort of the ethical component of them. They're really beautiful. And the truth is, yeah, I fell in love with them. I fell in love with this whole world of Mossflower and the world that Brian Jakes had created. And then you use the word addicted, and what's difficult is Mr. Jakes passed away just as we got on board, and so there were no more Redwall books for anybody. And in that regard, we had this really fascinating opportunity to just add more stories, and we felt like we could line up with the kind of the character and the flow and the flow of the story, the feel of it. But do new stories that people have really appreciated. So the fans have come alongside, as along with the Jakes Estate, and really helped us craft a narrative, which probably in total was probably about 500 or 600 pages worth of material, and do something that was new, but that was that honored the stuff in the past. We've loved it, and yes, I am a huge fan of Redwall.
And Brian Jakes's family themselves, have they passed comment? Have they said, yes, Brian would have liked this? He'd be looking down saying, yeah, thumbs up, Chris. This is spot on.
They have. They've been very supportive. And, you know, there's plenty of back and forth conversations. What about this? What about that? But they've been very proactive. They've been very, very helpful. And I'm pretty sure, in fact, I should say, they would say, yes, this was something that they have come to really enjoy and appreciate. When, if I'm honest, I think there was a lot of questions at the beginning, like whether or not Soma could do this property justice. But everyone seems very, very pleased.
I always think it's when I see the name Soma, I inevitably my mind goes back to Brave New World and that happy
Of
little drug
course.
that was used by Aldous Huxley. Was that anything behind that in the naming of the company, or was it a case of no, completely different?
It's probably a little bit of double entendre. Like, on the one hand, that word is fascinating. It appears in a lot of different languages. Like in Swahili, it means something like teaching. In Finnish, it means something like pretty. In Hindu mythology, it's the drink that turns you into a god and makes you a god. So this word appears everywhere. But of course, the opiate of the masses and all that of what gaming are. So yes, you got to go to Brave New World at least a little.
The Redwall Abbey Company, of course, basically behind the whole sort of notion of official new dialogue, etc. And in terms of actually breaking this whole process down, we see that the Lost Legends of Redwall, the Scout Encore Edition, on PS5, Xbox Series XJS, PC version game, etc., released on the 20th of February 2024. Again, if people want to find out more details, would you just say, check it out online? Go to your local game store. Purchase it now.
That's right. And there we have a website. It's thelegendsofredwall.com. And something that is new is we also have a second game on Steam called Feasts and Friends, which is a cozy cooking game. Just to really lean into that enormous aspect of Redwall, which is the power of food and community and what it means to just gather around a table. So that's also coming out on the same day.
Yeah, and over 500 pages of official new dialogue, story, and lore for the world of Redwall. Is this going to be a never-ending thing that we're actually still going to have Redwall into long into the 21st century?
I sure hope so. That really comes down into like how Netflix proceeds, but I would love the opportunity. So given the chance, we have miles of new stories that we've already started to write, and I'd love to do more.
Well, it's genuinely fantastic sort of hearing about this. And very much looking forward to seeing how this whole process is coming together. Two final questions, Chris. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today? Has it been okay for you?
This has been fantastic. I'm looking at a castle in your background. It makes me think of Redwall Abbey. And for being on the road, it's always nice to have charming conversations from overseas. So thank you for being a good host.
Well, thank you. So, can we possibly prevail upon you to join us sometime in the not too distant future and keep us appraised of the excellent work you're doing with Soma Games and indeed Forthright Entertainment? Will you be kind enough to come back sometime?
I would be honored. So you say when, and I'll be there.
Chris Gaggs, executive producer of Soma Games and Forthright Entertainment. And I'm sure if Bob Iger's listening, he'll be saying, "We need to make that bid now." Just putting it out there.
Exactly.
Chris, Chris,
Call
we
me, Bob.
salute
Call
you.
me.
Take
You,
care.
sir.
Bye now.
I certainly hope you dance as well as you dress.
There's only one way to find out.
Put on your red shoes and dance the blues. You and I, we're not so different. Agent Argyle.
It'll help. Hold on.
The book is phenomenal, sweetie, but
what happens next?
It's called a cliffhanger, Mother.
Ellie, it's called a cop-out.
Whoa! Hey! There's a cat in there!
Oh my God, you're Ellie freaking Conway.
Author of Argyle series, Ellie Conway!
I am such a fan!
Oh yeah? What is it you do?
Espionage.
Would you
sign my book?
Here we go.
I love this book. Come on.
People.
Real life spies.
Why would they care about me?
Because you're a goddamn fortune teller, Ellie. When you wrote in your new book actually happened and you kicked a hornet's nest you didn't even know existed.
I'm in some really big trouble, Mom.
Oh, so now you're experimenting with drugs.
I want all assets on them now.
I need her to write the next chapter.
God, I hate that cat.
time for you to meet the real Agent Argyle.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Well, the key thing is, as we know, the total reveal that Matthew Vaughn should, after 2 hours, 20 minutes, have actually gone for, which would have clearly got a uniform 100% score of happiness and satisfaction for Argyle, is that Argyle is indeed Richard Fitzwilliams. You're Argyle, are you not, Richard? Clearly. You know, you are Argyle, and I know how much you love Kingsman, all iterations. I know how much you love Kick-Ass and Matthew Vaughn, and I know how much you love Henry Cavill, although Henry Cavill obviously isn't in this for that long, despite the trailer. Maybe a few minutes or so. Dua Lipa likewise. But what the hey, you got Bryce Dallas Howard, you've got mixing and matching from the point of view of the narrative. Who's reading the narrative? Is the cat the case? Is it the doggy who's sitting on Natasha Wanton's lap? Frankly, I don't know. But then again, I haven't actually paid $200 million for it, as Apple TV did in terms of the streaming service. Over to you, Richard.
Well, I mean, Alex, would that a list of impressive and impressive cast guaranteed something of quality? Unfortunately, the spy action comedy is the very reverse, directed and produced by Matthew Vaughn. Yes,
I have to say, Richard, Sarah Bullimore, who knows the author of the original text, thought it was the best movie she's ever seen. We've been getting 10 out of 10s. This has polarized critics.
Most of them have been unfavorable, Alex, and whereas I think it's a 33% score, you were in fact inserting that comment to be a little controversial. The catch line here is the greater the spy, the bigger the lie. Well, Ellie Conway, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, is finishing her fifth book. She writes spy, she writes thrillers. Aubrey Argyle, the title character of the Argyle series, is played by Henry Cavill. Well, as it happens, Ellie goes on a train journey to visit her parents, who play a very substantial part in this. The plot becomes almost impossible, I would add, at least as far as I was concerned.
Richard, ignore the plot. Go for the CGI. How effective was that?
That is a ridiculous comment, Alex, and you made it only because you're just being mischievous. You know perfectly well what's coming. Visiting Ruth and Barry, her parents. Ruth is played by Catherine O'Hara. Barry is played by Barry Cranston, a good actor. Sad he's wasted here.
Brian Cranston, Richard. Brian. He was in Breaking Bad. Brian, not Barry.
Brian Cranston, yes. Yes, saved from an ambush. It gets absolutely an actual spy, Aidan Wilde, played by Sam Rockwell, who tells her that a subversive organization, the Division, has targeted her as her novels predict their future. So he travels with hoping that the next chapter will reveal a great deal about the Division. And then, of course, there's the chase for the master key. And also, Aidan, how trustworthy is he? And what about her parents? Who on earth could they be, operatives of the Division in some form? And then there's a visit to France where the former CIA deputy director, Alfie Solomon, played by Samuel L. Jackson, has a...
He sits in a chair quite a lot, Richard. He sits in a chair very well.
He does. And then there's a cat as well. We must give cramp or credit to animals. But who, in fact, is Ellie? Now, of course, I wouldn't mar my review with any spoilers. What happened years ago? Well, if you want to see it, you may find that this film is perhaps one of the most infuriating, one of the most irritating. Very well photographed, I grant that. But having said that, regarding plots, Alex is very fond of plots which involve travelling in various forms of time. I mean,
almost as good as Madame Web, I believe.
I dare say it is. I haven't seen Madame Web. I would say that I would not have gone to see this had I any idea of what was coming. But this
Richard, surely Henry Cavill's hairstyle for the few moments he's in the movie makes it worth the price of admission alone.
Anything to do with looking at this, and it's 2.25 hours or something like that.
2 hours, 20 minutes.
I got impatient. I couldn't, well, I mean, following the story, there isn't a real story. It just meanders.
It's a story within a story within a story to connect to the exactly. next Kingsman movie.
Yes, yes. And the Kingsman movies have... They have a habit, as this one does, of ending in utterly weird ways. And indeed, what spoke the first Kingsman was the ending, which was ridiculous. And then the second Kingsman, well, it was historical, of some historical interest. But again, they rather wrecked that. And as for this, well, it depends where you want to travel.
It's from the twisted mind of Matthew Vaughn, Richard. The twisted mind of Matthew Vaughn.
Yes, but the... This could be about anything and everything if you believe it's about something worthwhile and about cinema's magic and about how you use the rather extraordinary way that whoever's thought up this plot. If you think that works for you, then absolutely fair dues. I got bored. I got irritated. I found it a self-indulgent load of claptrap. So, I mean, it entirely depends on the sort of movies you like. I dare say some people will find this entertaining. The only entertainment I had was escaping from its clutches.
Mark Kermode loved it, Richard. And indeed has gone on record as saying he was a bit worried at the start, but by the time he'd actually moved through the first 5 or 10 minutes, he said it opens up a whole new vista of quality. And he wasn't being ironic either.
Precisely what it does do, it opens up a whole new vista of quality. How low can you go? How boring can you get if you're so... The convoluted twists and turns of this plot are just simply not worth... I can't anyway, because it means spoilers law if we actually reveal who Ellie is and all the rest of it and who her parents
are. Who's Argyle?
Assuming that you care. I didn't care. I don't care. 2 out of 10 for the camera work. Oh, yes, Bryce Dallas Howard does a part perfectly well, as Samuel L. Jackson does. His vineyard is very tempting. If you watch a movie like this and you emerge sober, you need quite a fortified mark to fortify you.
Natasha Wanton, is this one which, as soon as it appears on the streaming services in about 40-odd days, the fact that it actually has cost Apple over $200 million, you feel, well, you've got to give something to them to actually ensure that, you know, this wackiness that might have been a byproduct of pandemic and the actors' strike and the writers' strike, etc., it deserves, you know, a more discerning appraisal.
I really enjoyed how visceral Richard's review was then. That just gave me immense entertainment and pleasure. So thank you for that. That's kind of made my day. Look, it's no secret that I like the Kingsman movies. I really much enjoy them. I know Richard
this is part of the
fan.
Kingsman universe, possibly.
So I'm attracted by that. By the fact that Henry Cavill is not in a lot of the screen time, because that sort of, rightly, I guess I fell for the hook and it drew me in. I do like a bit of Cavill on my screen. But no, I will probably still watch it. And I don't know how possible cinema is going to be for me in the coming weeks, because I have an 8-week-old puppy now. So I'm probably not going to be able to go to the cinema very much, but I will definitely check it out on an available streaming service. I'm not sure I want to pay a lot of money for it, though, so it depends how much they're going to charge for this thing. I might wait for a free alternative, because I don't want to be paying an arm and a leg, but I will watch it, and I will probably enjoy it in the same way that I enjoy Kingsman. Do I think it's going to be revolutionary and world-changing? Probably not. But as a bit of an entertainment to fill a Saturday evening, I probably will. I'm sorry, Richard.
Sarah Bullimore's favourite movie of the year so far. I'm just saying, from that point of view.
For what reason?
Because she knows the author, and she's read the book, she's purchased the book, she knows
the author. Now we know.
In the same way, Rich, does you often like to sing the praises of a certain actor who portrays Hercule Poirot, because you know him. So that's another line entirely. We could use the Suchet card if you wish. Onwards to Sarah Huntley. Sarah, you've drawn into a lay-by on the journey back to London after your excursions swimming in the icy cold of the English Channel. Any thoughts on what you've heard? Is it a case of, well, it's got a cat in a knapsack, it's got to be good?
I'm amazed by Richard's vitriol. Well, I think it might be a naught out of 10. I am seeing Williams on Friday in town, so we'll talk it through.
I think you should both go and see Madame Webb. That would actually sort of make this like Dostoevsky by comparison.
I've never seen All the Kingsmen, so I'm not into that lot. I'm not that I shouldn't be, but I've never gone down that route. So I'm.
What about All the King's Horses, Sarah? Have you seen All the King's Horses as opposed to All the King's Men?
Yes. So I'm not very well. Sorry, listeners, I'm not very good on all of this, so I'm not really sure what I'm into here. Sounds intriguing, but I have to say, if Fitzwilliam says it's a no, it's usually a no. So probably a no.
Well, clearly, Natasha would contradict that statement. And as Richard has refused to actually acknowledge the fact that he may well be Argyle, we simply have to turn around and say, well, clearly he's moved on from that perspective. To his alter ego, which is WWF wrestling, his focus on the wrestling industry, bulking up in the same way that the cast have bulked up, including Zac Efron, who's bulked up for his latest role, etc. It's the Iron Claw, Richard.
Ever since I was a child, people said my family was cursed. Mom tried to protect us with God. Pop tried to protect us with wrestling. He said if we were the toughest, the strongest, nothing had ever hurt us. I believed him. We all did.
Morning.
Pants tomorrow, please, David.
Perry, I want you to join your brothers in the ring.
Yes, sir. I love that.
Now, we all know Kerry's my favorite, then Kev, then David, then Mike. But the rankings can always change.
What do you want in life, Kevin Von Erich?
More ribs. I want to be with my family. You know, be with my brothers.
What do you like to do with your brothers?
Together, we can do anything.
We're here to restore justice to the Wrestling Federation that our father built with his own two hands. The hands that were passed down to us. The hands that will deliver the Iron Claw to you.
So what do you think?
Like we're alive.
I love your family, Kevin.
Gonna be an uncle?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, that makes me so happy.
I talked to you about something, Mom. Dad's too tough on us. You gotta say something.
Baby, that's what your brothers are for.
Feel that? You feel that? That's pressure. I mean, you're pushing too hard.
I'm fine, kid. Seriously, I'm just sick.
I'm scared, man. It all out of control.
I need to think about my family.
Your job is to wrestle. Live up to that deal or we are through.
I told you to look out for him!
I just love being out there with you guys. It's the only thing that matters to me.
The father will forever be the greatest family in the history of wrestling!
Well, yes, and it's rather extraordinary. You made the point about bulking up, sort of toxic masculinity you see in this movie. Zac Efron, I always thought, was, extremely good looking. He's a professional, very good professional actor.
He was in Baywatch. He ran in slow motion. What more do you want?
Well, he in movies, I mean, and also I'm thinking of whether he can bulk down. I'm a bit concerned that if he appears as giant as he does here subsequently, it'll be rather difficult. I mean, this is about a family of wrestlers. And I mean, it begins in
true story, Richard. True story, no spoilers.
Well, it is a true story, and indeed it's a very true story to the extent where we have to indeed be careful about spoilers, but in fact the family, the original family, was larger than the one we see here.
It's a tale of Texas.
Yes, it is, and also it's a tale of, it's an absolutely bizarre story. A whole family, the father is Jack Fritz von Erich, and a pretty dodgy character in some ways, but nonetheless, he is a champion wrestler and determined that his family will be likewise. So we have four brothers who we meet. Zach Efron plays Kevin, Jeremy Allen White plays Kerry, Harris Dickinson plays David, and Stanley Simons is Mike, and Hulk McCallum, he puts in a very good performance as Fritz. As I say, there are those who are interested in wrestling. I'm not, but I did think Mickey Rourke, the wrestler, the Darren Aronofsky film, I thought that was excellent, and I got more involved in that probably because this is dealing with so many individuals. That's dealing with what the story of a single figure. Here you have a whole variety of wrestling matches. Sometimes you have two in the ring at versus two others. Sometimes one. Sometimes a brother will jump into the ring if something extraordinary is happening.
It's called tag wrestling, Richard. Tag wrestling. In case you're wondering.
Familiar. The Iron Claw is a grip. A grip. The Von Erich grip. It can disqualify you too, because you can disqualify some of the people who are involved in this rather extraordinary sport. We have Lily James as Pam. Now, Pam has a relationship with Kevin, and he tells her about the so-called Von Erich curse that killed his elder brother Jack. And my goodness gracious me, this is not an easy story, because it is true and because tragedy struck this family in spades. How does the bid for the championship go? What happens? Olympics? Well, America boycotts the Olympics in 1980 because of Russia's invasion of Afghanistan, so that dashes Kerry's hope. But if one brother gives way to the other, what happens to him? Now, yes, if you argue about spoilers, those who see this film on the edge of their seats, I wasn't one of them, as I say, the particular subject, I have to admit, has nothing to do with the merit of the movie, doesn't happen to interest me. I do think, however, that when you're telling a story which has indeed in it, as I've said, deep tragedy, it's one thing seeing brothers together on this planet. It's quite another if there happens to be a shot in the afterlife, which most certainly does not work.
How do you know, Richard? How do you know?
Well, that's true. I haven't experienced it, Alex. But nonetheless, I can only say its representation here was decidedly substandard. Everyone acts perfectly adequately. I do think that as Hulk McCallum is pretty monstrous, ultra-tough father, who's the power behind all this, is a remarkable performance. I am concerned what Zac Efron's going to be like when someone who was quite preppy has grown to the size, as I say. I don't think that you can scale down. I don't know.
Now, Richard, look at what happened with Brendan in The Whale. You know, it's a different kind entirely, basically. So Brendan can actually do it. I'm sure you go up, you go down, you go... We wouldn't advise this for any listener, by the way. It will actually do irreparable damage to your body's health. But, you know, they're actors, so what the hey?
Well, they are. Brendan Fraser in The Whale was just extraordinary. But, of course, it wasn't quite like that, where I suspect Zac Efron has put on amazing amounts of weight. But does this film carry the weight? 2.25 hours? As I say, I felt a bit of an outsider. But, it's adequate.
See it as a double bill with Argyle, and you got nearly 5 hours of joy.
Well, see it as a double bill with Argyle, and you would certainly be fighting not just someone in a ring. You'd be fighting ennui. You'd be bored to death, I think. At least I would, practically to death. It's an adequate movie. It is well acted, and the wrestling scenes, I understand, are well done. But as I say, if you want actual involvement, I go for Mickey Rourke's The Wrestler, which, though hard to look at times, was a more powerful movie. For me, this, of course, deals with several stories, and it is, you know, 6 out of 10, I'd say. Mm.
Sarah Huntley, as somebody who I know secretly has a passion for Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mick McManus, Giant Haystacks, Jackie Palo, many of those wrestlers of times past and present, is this one which you think, well, if it's about wrestling and Texas and a toxic masculinity, I'm there?
It's an absolute no for me. None of those topics. Alex, you're being very naughty, you know, but if you put it like that, how can I? Yes, none of that interests me. No, absolute no.
Well, in Australia, surely they're huge wrestling flat fans. So, Natasha, the Iron Claw, something which you think, yeah, this is what we need more of.
I don't think adequate's ever an adjective anything or anyone really wants to be described as, really, is it? It's not particularly the most flattering sort of vocabulary to use to describe something. So if he says it's adequate, it's probably not very good.
It's a term that can be used to describe the senior management of certain universities I could name, but there we are.
I think that's being rather generous, given what you've told, what people have disclosed to me, Alex. But there we are. I don't think the subject matter is one that would particularly appeal to my immediate interests. However, there are some interesting actors in it. I love Lily James. I will watch her in most. So, hey, maybe if she thought the script was worth a go, maybe it is worth a go. Yeah, I don't.
Or she
think
needed the money. Either of those two things.
Well, I mean, yes, but let's not hope she hasn't fallen quite down that trap of rabbit hole yet. She's still young. She's still beautiful. It's fine. But no, I don't think it's top of my list. But maybe if I get really desperate and I need to pop something on, I might. Yeah, that's probably where I'm sort of laying at.
Yeah. Okay, so a kind of middling one for yourself, which is pretty much what Richie gave it in terms of a 6, as opposed to his visceral evisceration of, obviously, Argyle. Sarah, I suspect that when it comes to Chanel, big fan of, obviously, the dress, the style, the couture, the fashion, all of those things, basically, which you demonstrate and carry off effortlessly in so many ways. Accordingly, are you keen to actually hear what Richard has to say about Chanel at the V&A?
I am very keen, yes. I find it quite fascinating.
Okay, Richard, over to you in your little black dress.
How kind of you, Alex, to introduce me in so informal a way.
Well, I know you had to leave for a reason, so that's very important, so off you go.
Well, yes, indeed, it was the BAFTAs this evening, which I've been booked for, but this is...
If you turn up to the BAFTAs in a little black dress, Richard, my respect for you will hugely, hugely go through the roof.
Well, I leave you to fantasize about that, Alex. So you introduced the idea, and I leave it with you. Gabrielle Chanel Fashion Manifesto. It's a wonderful exhibition. Now, the Victoria and Albert Museum have done a series dedicated to designers. There's McQueen, Alexander McQueen, Savage Beauty, Christian Dior, Designer of Dreams, and this one, tracing from her success, pre-war successes to her death in 1971, and you get a recreation of the giant show that they put on. It does have amazing imagination credit. And Marilyn Monroe was one, "What are you wearing in bed?" And she replied, "Chanel number 5. So there's a side of this devoted to perfume, also a side devoted to suits. The little black dress, of course, very famously. Her life, her personal life, her lover's boy, Capel, and the Duke of Westminster. The elegance, the fact that her look has never really gone out of style. That, you know, there's a casualness about it, but it avoids extravagance. And there is this the Chanel elegance that we associate with the brand. The tweed suit, the perfume, extraordinary. She was extraordinary. Now, what was the real Chanel like? That is a question that the exhibition poses. It doesn't answer it because apparently no one has. What
are you saying? She might have been a Nazi, Richard.
I'm saying, well, in fact, the reports about this, quite a little section of the exhibition is devoted to the fact that she appears to have been thought to be, anyway, a Nazi spy and also thought to be a member of the resistance. There are papers that supposedly prove that. She was as much an enigma in wartime as she was as an individual. People didn't get to know her, apparently. But she was able to change, not only designed for films like example, last year in Marion Pad, another. It's a fascinating show. I guess that for me, Alexander McQueen's Savage Beauty was absolutely fantastic, perhaps the most colourful of exhibitions. Here again, Chanel did in the 1960s, but there is this. It's they're very, very special creations. They're elegant creations. She didn't go for the over-elaborate or the hyper-spectacular, but there's no doubt that her legacy is enduring, and whereas people will constantly speculate on what sort of a... and, of course, a wartime role, the facts are that fashion, she closed down after the war and then reopened in the 50s, and again, having scored in the decades before the war so dramatically, she did in the last decade and a half of her life. So an amazing figure.
Do you think she might have had more success if she changed her middle name to Gabrielle Hot Chocolate Chanel as opposed to Gabrielle Coco Chanel? Or is that just an irrelevancy?
Total irrelevancy. But, of course, film.
It's only got a little time to run. In fact, by the time you actually hear this, if you're listening to it on Siren Radio and our FM service, February the 25th, 2024, will possibly be literally passing or have passed. But nevertheless, is that something which...
Hence of March, it was extended.
It's been relief all round. It's been extended to the 10th of March then. Thank heavens. Natasha Wanton, does that mean that, yes, your attention to Gabrielle Ovaltini Chanel might well be attending?
Look, I think it speaks volumes that Richard actually sustained my attention far better in the last 5 minutes than he did with the last movie. So that probably says a lot about where my interests lie. If I was, you know, in the country, I would definitely check it out. If it travels, I'd certainly love to see it here.
Well, it's not going to go to Australia. I mean, I can't see it going to Australia. I mean, there's virtually no culture there, basically. So how could it go down in Australia?
Canberra. They've got some nice museums in Canberra, Alex.
Okay,
I'm sure
we can
be persuaded.
Okay. But, you know, I figured after the challenges they've had about Australia Day, why would they worry about sort of a French designer on that side of things, honestly?
Well, I think that's a little bit more politically easy, actually, if all things are considered.
How's the dog, by the way? Is the puppy, and what's the puppy, his name? The Wanton family puppy, what's his name?
Mochi. His name's Mochi.
Mochi.
And he's a Schipperke. Mm.
Right.
He's the Schipperke puppy.
Okay.
Yes.
Also, I've never heard of a dog called Mochi before, but it could make an excellent movie title. Sarah, given that you are heading to London, is the V&A Chanel Museum on your list of things to do?
Yes, it sounds fascinating. Fascinating. Because on Richard's explaining about what's happening, I went to the National Portrait Gallery last weekend and had a great time there. And there's a lot I didn't see. And I'm going back to, but I'd love to go and see this. And in fact, the weekend before last, I went to a place in London called the Horse Museum to see an M.R. James man do a story, which was fascinating.
Did he have a sore throat, Sarah?
Called the Horse Museum because
that's what I said. Did he have a sore throat?
No, he didn't actually. He had a wonderful, mellifluous voice to do the M.R. James ghost stories. But the reason I'm telling you there is some reason where she goes on, is that the Horse Museum was where in Victorian times the cabbies used to take their horses to have treatment, I suppose. But it's
not
now
affairs.
Yes, and it but it's now got fashion there. So when I went to the M.R. James, it's got a lot of things hanging up, which actually added to the ghost-like feel of the M.R. James and at the Horse Museum. So that's a fashion place to go and visit if you're into fashion. It's just off from opposite sort of Great Ormond Street. I would like to go. I'd be intrigued to see whether
I'm afraid, Sarah, it's sold out.
Oh, has it? Oh, well. Well, for next time, maybe when Natasha's over, we'll go together. But I would be intrigued to see whether they're all like the little black jacket and the dress. And I would be very much want to see Fitzwilliams in his little black dress. But there we go.
You all have to.
I second the notion.
Yeah, it is unanimous, and was Fia able to be joining us today? I know that the Netherlands vote would be yes, as indeed would the Romanian vote as well. So, you know, I'm just saying, Richard, the message is out there. The campaign is starting shortly after the Save Our Siren campaign, so it's all good. A 10 out of 10, I presume you would give the exhibition, Richard?
Oh, yes, I would. Excellent. And we have got the BAFTAs tonight. A triumph, I think. We're all expecting Oppenheimer to triumph. I would be very, very surprised if in any of the categories, and necessarily was a really big surprise as such. Oppenheimer will win film, best film, and also I think it will win Christopher Nolan. His BAFTA for best director, for best actor. I think it does look again like definitely it looks as Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, best actress, Emma Stone for Poor Things, supporting actor Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, supporting actress Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, and best foreign film. It's interesting that the foreign films, I was intrigued by this, Past Lives and The Zone of Interest, which I would have called foreign language films, haven't necessarily qualified as that. But most of them, much of it was subtitled dialogue, and they're included here together with several others, which will win. I would have thought Anatomy of a Fall is the likely one, or perhaps that will pick up a screenplay award, but it'll be, I hope, a celebration of cinema with Barbie. Well, Barbie's helped tremendously at the box office, but it hasn't featured much in the awards. Margot Robbie has been nominated as Best Actress, but she will not win. Emma Stone will win for Poor Things.
So there we are. And you don't need to watch it at all then. So David Tennant can actually have given up his particular role as hosting the whole thing. We just go on that particular aspect. Finally, a tribute, I think, has to be given on this particular slot, whether you're listening to it on a sort of podcast for platform or indeed on a Siren Radio platform, for the horrendous loss to the world of Alexei Navalny, who obviously we featured extensively last year with the documentary. And unfortunately, it has not had a happy ending, but so it goes. To Richard Fitzwilliams, to Natasha Watson, to Sarah Huntley. Do you feel as though you've been re-energized, Sarah? Do you feel as though you're set for the next, 2.5 hours of life along the road, which is about just a little bit more than Argyle would take out of you if you were having a soundtrack played?
Yes, you've all re-energised me, and I hope we've re-energised the listeners. And an interesting scoring this week, I feel. So I'm pleased that Chanel got a 10 at the end of it all.
Sarah Huntley, Natasha Wanton, and Richard Fitzwilliams. Keep watching the movies.
night of sadness, and it was clear she couldn't go on. The door was open and the wind appeared. The candles blew and then disappeared. The curtains flew and then he appeared.
Said, don't be afraid.
Come on, baby.
And she had no fear.
And she ran to him.
They started to fight.
They looked backward and said goodbye.
She had,
she had taken his hand.
She had become like
I have never lied to you.